Now, friends, you know here at Follow the Money Weekly, we have been talking about this economic crisis continuing to unfold. We have seen nice returns in the market over the last several weeks, in the stock market in particular, indicating to some that the recovery seems to be picking up. And we want to flash a very strong warning to those who believe that, because where we are actually heading is towards a massive currency crisis. Not too long ago, I had the chief economist at Casey Research on the program. He joined us to talk about how to profit from the world's economic crisis. He very succinctly put it this way. He said that where we had been, the former crisis that we went through, was a subprime banking credit crisis, and that he envisioned us living right now in the eye of a hurricane, about ready to come out on the other side of a currency crisis waiting for us on that side. Now, I normally don't only invite guests on who I agree with, because if I did, I would not have had Robert Prechter on talking about why he believes that deflation is going to happen and we're going to have a deflationary depression, which I obviously do not believe. I believe that the way forward from here is default or hyperinflationary depression. There is simply no other viewpoint according to my research. However, Bud Conrad, when he came on, made a very good point, pointing out that the currency crisis that lies ahead is going to dwarf what we have seen in the past. And folks, I have to admit to you that that is exactly the same thing that I see. In the book Bankruptcy of Our Nation, we indicate that this is where we're heading, a time of massive inflation. And many people have said, well, you know, if there's going to be massive inflation, why haven't we seen it yet? Well, there are many reasons for that, and that would require a whole other program, but there are very good reasons as to why inflation has not happened yet. And we know, based upon some of the things that I'm going to share with you today, that inflation is on the way. That or default, one of the two. In essence, what we're witnessing today, in fact, what we are witnessing right now, if you've opened up the paper recently or if you watch the financial media, what we are seeing or witnessing right now is a new global war. It's not a physical war involving lead bullets and military might. Instead, it is a global financial war. It is a global economic war in which nations are firing financial bullets at what? At their own currencies. Many countries have joined into this war. We have Korea, we have Brazil, we have Japan, we have the United States, of course, we have China, who has been one of the primary nations involved in even spurring on this global economic war. You see, at the micro level, you and I, we have jobs, we have income, we have wages that we receive, we have salaries, and then, of course, we have expenses. We have to pay for the mortgage, we have to pay for the credit card bill, whatever it might be. We deal in this realm, but countries actually deal in much different realms. They deal with balance of payments, and they have deficits. They have imports and exports, and this is really what macroeconomics is all about. In essence, what countries right now are doing is, here's what they're realizing. Their own domestic consumption is not enough to spur on the recovery that they'd like to see. Japan, for example, consumption is still not strong enough. In the United States, consumption is still not strong enough. And if you cannot get your own people to consume more, and the government is trying to consume, but eventually it runs out of bullets and it can't consume anymore because then it becomes just simply printing money, well, then the other strategy is to tap into other countries' domestic consumption. Well, how can you tap in? If you're America, how can you tap into, say, China's consumption? Well, the best way to do it is to make what you produce cheaper. And how can you take what you produce and make it cheaper? Well, one way is to build a better product or lower your labor cost, and therefore you have a more efficient process of producing things. But the easy way is to simply bring down the value of your currency, to devalue your currency, because then your exports become cheaper to the importing nations. Now, this is all economics 101, but you really must understand this, because what we are really witnessing right now is an international currency war that is getting ready to be waged. And in fact, I say getting ready to be waged. In essence, we are already in it. You see, the U.S. knows that U.S. consumers are just not ready to raise their consumption to a level that will really spur economic growth that can produce a recovery. So the U.S. is seeking to allow the dollar to fall even further, which will make U.S. exports more attractive to foreign consumers. But you have to understand that other economies that are driven by exports, like Japan and like Brazil, who survive off of their exports, they have no vested interest in seeing other consuming nations diverting their buying to the U.S. So what they're doing is they're also dropping the value of their currencies because they want to create demand for their exports. And where all of this is taking us is to a place of protectionism. And things are just really beginning to heat up. Just last week, the United States House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a bill that would enable the current administration to impose tariffs on almost all Chinese imports into the United States, indicating to Americans that everything at Walmart is getting ready to go up. Because if you put tariffs on all Chinese imports, and if you've walked into a Walmart, by the way, and have ever tried to find, I challenge you to walk into Walmart and avoid the clothes section, because the clothes section usually has some made in the USA products. But for the most part, try to find something. Just randomly pick up items and look and see where they're made. You'll find Thailand, you'll find Malaysia, you'll find China, you'll find Korea, you'll find Vietnam. But very rarely do you see made in the USA. And when they are made in the USA, there's a real big production about it, and there's big signs and American flags and wow, buy the USA. But for the most part, Walmart carries Asian imports. And Americans like cheap Asian imports because most of them are electronics, which are some of the most highest in-demand consumer products in the country. So what's happening right now is the U.S. is seeking to lower the value of its own currency and then to put tariffs up or impose extra charges to Chinese imports. So this is going to lead to higher price levels for discount retailers like Walmart, who has to pass on these tariffs from what China has to pay. So in essence, we have two things happening here. The United States is throwing up a wall to China, basically saying that it desires to seek tariffs on imports into the nation. And at the same time, the United States is also lowering or trying to artificially depress the value of the U.S. currency. And when it does this, it leads to inflation. But again, the U.S. is not the only one who is doing this. We have Japan, who is trying to stop the U.S. from flooding the world with dollars and making the dollar cheaper because it is taking its yen and it's selling it and then buying U.S. dollars, hoping to boost Japanese imports. China has artificially pegged its currency to the United States dollar to benefit from any drop in the dollar, so therefore they really don't have to play fair. China is also buying the Japanese yen and the European euro with its money to suck in some of the excess supply to keep their currencies stronger. Brazil is selling its currency, the real, to buy the dollar in order to bring its currency down but bring the dollar up. But here's the problem. Not every single country can have a weak currency at the same time because currencies are like seesaws. They go against each other. When one goes up, it goes up in relationship to another currency. So there are going to be winners to this and there's going to be losers to this. And this is one war that the United States can win by debasing the currency and by relying upon protectionist type of policies. The United States can win this war. And the winner of this war will basically have a totally debased and debauched currency, but it will have a great export market. But I can tell you the trade-off is certainly not worth it. This is a very dangerous game, and the way these things normally work throughout history is brutal. This is leading us to a major currency crisis because the world leaders have no clue what to do. They're out of bullets. The Federal Reserve, of course, we are expecting them in the next 2 to 6 weeks to begin a new asset purchase plan where they're going to begin propping up assets again, attempting to stabilize aggregate demand. We also expect other nations to follow suit. The Bank of Japan, by the way, has expanded its quantitative easing program. It's preparing a 5 trillion yen, that's equal to about $60 billion, a 5 trillion yen fund to buy their own government bonds and other assets to prop up the faltering Japanese economy. And they've already dropped rates to an effective rate of zero. The European Central Bank is monetizing its own debt and it's buying more European bonds. And the list goes on and on. Every country wants a weaker currency in order to stimulate its export-led growth because they want to tap into the domestic demand of other nations. Of course, they can keep the demand in their own nation, but they want to tap into the growing demand in other nations. Folks, we have entered into an area that is extremely economically unhealthy. One of the things that we talk about here at Follow the Money is commodities, because it's part of our PACE investing plan, P-A-C-E, precious metals, agricultural commodities, and energy, those being four platforms that we expect to fully be in a bull market over the course of the next decade. But billionaire investor Jim Rogers has basically said this week that he feels that commodities represent a win-win situation, a win-win investing opportunity.
You know, the central banks and governments around the world are going to print money till we run out of trees. It's outrageous what they're doing. They think they're doing the right thing. I know they're not doing the right thing. Protect yourself with hard assets. Well, I'm much more bullish on agriculture than I am even on gold. I own both, as a matter of fact. What you should do is become a farmer. I mean, farming is going to be a great, great profession in the next two or three decades. That's where the money's going to be made. We have a shortage of farmers developing in many countries of the world. But when you print a lot of money, or when you give people a lot of money, the people who get the money are better off. There's no question about that. But the country, the world as a whole, is worse off. Sure, some of us feel much better, especially people in the financial markets or people who get all this money. But the world's in worse shape. The world is not getting better. The world's getting worse. Well, eventually, they're going to run out of trees. They can't keep printing money, you know. They can't keep spending money. The U.S. government can't triple its debt again. Mr. Bernanke can't print that much more money. Eventually, the currency markets are going to get into turmoil, more turmoil, I should say. And eventually, interest rates will start going up, and eventually, people will realize, hey, we have problems, and they're not being met by printing money. Well, they certainly have a false sense of security. They think the dollar is a good place to be. That doesn't mean it won't go up. Right now, everybody's very pessimistic on the dollar, including me. So I wouldn't sell the dollar by any means right now. But no, the dollar's a terribly flawed currency. It's going to have serious problems over the next decade or so. We have inflation. Bonds will go down. Eventually, interest rates will go up. There'll be more currency turmoil, more problems in the stock market. If the world economy doesn't get better, they're going to print a lot of money. So own real assets, own commodities, own silver, own rice, own natural gas, own real things. Because if the world gets better, they'll do well because of the shortages. If the world doesn't get better, they'll do well because they're going to print money. Now, printing money is not the right thing to do, but they don't know that. They're not very smart people. That's why they're in Washington.
Listen to this. Now, think about it. He says commodities are the obvious beneficiary of the current economic environment no matter what. If the economy weakens, the Fed will print more money, devalue the dollar, which we obviously see happening now, and this will, of course, bid up commodities or hard assets, because the more money that's out there, the more it takes to buy real assets. But, Rogers points out, if the economy recovers, many of the commodities will still go up because there are supply constraints on many of these. And as the global recovery continues, if this actually happens, then we would see more demand for these commodities, but nevertheless, there would still be a constrained supply of them. So the price would still be bid up, like gold, and like silver, and like rice, and like farmland, and like agricultural commodities in general. Folks, the growth has not been in the United States stock market over the last decade. It's been in gold, it's been in farmland, it's been in REITs, it's been in other nations. The S&P 500 index was down 25% for the last 10 years. If you take the last 10 years, the S&P 500 index is down 25%. But if you go look at a 10-year record in Brazil, you see Brazil is up 300%. If you look at Mexico, you see Mexico is up 516%. If you look at Indonesia, you see they're up 627% for a 10-year period. Argentina is up over 1,000% in that same 10-year period. Right here at Follow the Money Weekly, we are doing everything in our power to help you understand how you can thrive and survive, and not just thrive and survive, but profit in the midst of this global economic crisis. We believe the way you do that is by applying certain financial stewardship principles coupled with what we call following the money. Money always flows to the rate of highest return. And so therefore, when you watch the flow of money and you see where it's flowing, then you know where the profit is going to be. But unless you do this for a living, it's highly unlikely that you'll be able to find these on your own. That's why we highly advise that you work with a trusted financial advisor who is trained in these types of concepts. Or the thing that I think that every one of you should do is get a copy of our Follow the Money quarterly newsletter. It's only $99 a year. It's delivered by email, or if you want to deliver to your home, it's an additional $30 for the delivery, so it's $129 per year. And in each issue, we delve into these same topics of how to work this plan, how to follow the money. And in each issue, we also put our FTM stock portfolio, which shows you exactly when we have called stocks and what's in the portfolio. So you can see it every single quarterly issue. You'll see the portfolio when we have buy or sell alerts. We're beginning to initiate those only for our subscribers, so we'll let you know when we're buying or when we're selling, so you're able to keep up. As of right now, the FTM stock portfolio is up just over 13% for the year to date. Now, I don't know if that sounds high to you, or I don't know if that sounds low to you, but to me, what I like about it is that we have been in very stable, dividend-paying, blue-chip investments. We have not got radical with our portfolio right now because we don't feel it's proper, because there is a lot of risk out there. But even with a conservative dividend paying portfolio, to earn 13% per year is nothing to shake your head at. And perhaps it's much more than what you earned this year. If so, we encourage you to get a copy of Follow the Money Quarterly. The next issue comes out October 15th. I mean, it's literally around the corner. You can order by going to our website at ftmdaily.com. Just click on the FTM Quarterly button. Say, yes, I want to become a subscriber. I want annual subscription for $99 a year by email, or I want email and I want it sent to my home for an extra $30, make it $129. Or you can call us and talk to a live person right here at our office and order it that way with a check card, credit card, or by mail with a check at 800-609-5530. That's 800-609-5530. Friends, we are being immersed headlong into the world's worst financial crisis ever witnessed. And gold and silver and palladium and certain types of hard assets are going to go sky high. I encourage you to take action, whether it's with our organization or some other organization. Take action to learn the steps that you need to take in order to protect your finances, your family, your future.